Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
We love Pastor Steve, don't we? He is a delight. You know what is interesting to me, that whole Labrador, however that was, a Labrador. Labradori. Yeah. How many of you remember, are you young enough to remember or old enough to remember either one, when courses, high school science courses included laboratory courses? Right, where you could mix stuff together and goof off and blow things up. And your school hallways smelled like, you know, like rotten eggs because of the sulfur. How many of you grew up with doing those kind of things? Yeah, okay. What's that? Yeah, as far as I know, if nobody's just cringing and falling over because of the noise, then I think we're okay. Yeah. The reason I say that is because I remember those days, and we really, I personally just absolutely loved that kind of stuff. And you guys look, I mean, I know you well enough now to know that some of you are just straight up rascals. Yes, don't we all at some, but that's beautiful. That's a fun thing. And there was no course in high school where we were more rascally than in laboratory courses. Because you could just make stuff. Yeah, and it didn't have to be necessarily what the actual, you know, class was asking you to make. You could just make stuff. And but we had I was just thinking of this, that our teacher for the first laboratory course that I was ever in was one of the high school football coaches. And he was also like the athletic director of our high school. And I was pretty well known as a football player back in the day. Dinosaurs were roaming the earth, so you didn't have to be quite as good as you have to be today. But I remember going into the class, and this guy sitting up there, he's the most casual person you've ever wanted to meet. You know, just kind of like, yeah, you know, I'll get in your seats, and I'll, you know, you're in this tables, big labs, got the sinks, have the, you know, the big faucets over the top, and all this sort of stuff, and all the beakers and the chemicals are there. And so he starts out, he says, okay, I want you to get 4, 5, 6 grams of... And whatever it was, it's in the pink pot. And so you four or five. We don't know what a gram is. We don't know which of the things. He just 4, 5, 6. It didn't matter. And then he, whatever it was, there were like 3 or 4 instructions. And then he said, and now I want you to put some of that liquid in the beaker in there. But be careful. Because this is the thing that could explode. Welcome to lab. Well, but seriously, the unpredictability, the possibility of it. Actually, he was just sort of kidding. It didn't really explode. What happened is when you poured this particular liquid in there, the whole thing started foaming out all over the place. And so everybody's, is it going to kill me? Can I get it on my hands? You know, all the. I'm sure what he intended was to orient us to lab. And the reason I pick on that is because I sort of wrestled with the opportunity. Pastor Steve asked me a number of weeks ago if I could come and would come today and just share with you. And I knew Chris had another thing that she was doing, but I love you guys. I just love coming and hanging out with the crew, and I have the color hair to fit in. So I feel right at home here. But I love you because you love the Lord and you love one another, and you're an exciting group of people. And so I really want to not just come and talk, but I really wanted to bring something that I think is God to us. How many of you know that it must be easy to preach in these churches that don't believe in the supernatural? It really must be. Because whatever you come up with, whatever is your best, coolest thing to say, but we believe that God actually wants to speak to us when we get together. That it's more important to have not just a sermon, a truth to tell, but the word that the Lord intends to bring to us. And lest you think I bear too much responsibility in this, I think that's the Lord's doing. I think that is what he is able to take his word of truth and apply it really powerfully and personally into our situations at any given point in time. And I think that's really what he does. I know over years and years of traveling and ministering to tens of thousands of people over the years, it's kind of interesting because you think you've preached a message on a certain subject, and someone will come after and say, that is the greatest word on healing I've ever heard. And you just want to look at your notes because you're saying, I don't think I even mentioned healing. But the Lord did. Clearly, the Lord had spoken into their lives. And so, as I was wrestling through on all of this kind of thing and asking the Lord to really, you know, grant to me the stewardship of our moment that we have together, because I love you, I value this time, and grant to me to steward this moment rightly. He spoke to my heart about something that it's just so out of the blue, and I thought, well, what? Have you ever done that with the Lord's direction in your life? Sometimes that's a clear key that it is the Lord's direction. You know, we tend to want to agendize our lives and plan everything according to, I know what's going to happen. I love predictability. Everybody loves predictability. Anybody that tells you they love change is mistaken. I'm telling you the truth. Now, they may be better at dealing with change than some other people are, but nobody loves change. I promise you, if you're right-handed and you break your right hand, and you have to do everything you do for a month or two with your left hand, you'll hate change. Nobody loves change. That's true. But anyway, I'm just praying this through and asking the Lord to kind of help me with all of this. He put this word into my heart, and I thought, okay, all right, I'm going to do this. You know, I just, even up till this morning, till I got here, I just still wrestling with the Lord, thinking I have a prayer meeting in the first thing in the morning, and this prayer group, that was part of what I was praying about, praying for you and praying for our time. And anyway, but I'm standing there in the back, and Pastor Steve comes up with his dog stories, which seriously was not a planned event, I'm sure. It's like out of the clear blue, I just heard this story and I just got to tell it. And the word that he used, I mean, it just didn't even fit the story. It was laboratory or labradory in this case. But the thing that the Lord spoke to me to share with you is one of the five values by which I have lived my life and sought to do ministry for all of these years. I only have five. I think everybody ought to have some sort of a biblically based value system, don't you? It's kind of the why. It's the true north. That's what values do. They are if they speak well of you and they flow out of the scripture, then they speak to you about sort of the true north things of life. Stuff that's not going to change. Stuff that no matter what age you are or what your opportunities, these things are still going to drive you to be a certain way. And I have five of them. One is that Jesus is alive and well and operating in the earth, and he's using Holy Spirit-empowered believers. I call it the Christ life. But that value, that driving understanding of how he is and who he is and that he wants to be with me and wants to partner with me and empower me by his Spirit, that's just huge to me. So I love that one. People are the highest order of creation. They are the crown of creation to God. He invested more into people than anything else. And so God is a people person. People are more important than anything else on the earth. They are, because they're important to God. You matter because you matter to God. Not because you're black, white, male, female, American, Russian. No. Because you belong to God. So people are the highest order of creation. They're the object of God's intense affection and his claim of ownership. Relationships are the arena in which all true ministry takes place, because God is personal. He makes himself known person to person. That's a great value, by the way, that because you understand that real ministry isn't programs. It's people. It's relationships. It's the stuff that happens. Jesus said, if two or three of you will get together, wherever you do, in a car, I'll be right there in the middle of that. I'll be there. His presence manifests. We do that about church services sometimes. Oh, the presence of God was strong there. Well, the presence of God happens when two of us get together in the name of Jesus. Because relationships are the arena where ministry takes place. Urgency and passion. I'm giving you all five, aren't I? Urgency and passion is the emotional result of understanding time and eternity. This is five. Four. I'm on four already, yeah. Christ life is number one. People, number two. Relationships, number three. Urgency and passion are the emotional result, because that's the reality. When you understand that we have a limited amount of time to do what we're going to do, we have forever to worship the Lord. We have forever to live and move and have our being in him. But to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to share the gospel, to set people free from their sins, we have now. You get that? And so a sense of urgency, a sense of passion is kind of incumbent upon people who really believe the gospel of Christ. Now, I said all of those to get you to my last one. Number five. number five, is this. Living in love is the laboratory course for the Christ life. Oh, that's what the Lord put in my heart to share with you today. Living in love is the laboratory course for the Christ life. And what I mean by that is, if you will engage in this one clear, powerful, focused activity with all your heart and all your strength and all your soul and all your might and all your mind, your energy, your time, your efforts, if you will live in love, I promise you, to do so, you must have a relationship with God. Not only will it change you, but it'll change the way you influence others, and others will see and know that you got this from someplace outside of yourself. Because we know that we belong to Him because we love the brothers, because His love is in us. So the laboratory course is living in love. The surest, simplest way to the most powerful spiritual life you could ever have is to commit to loving everybody, everywhere, every day. Let me say that again so you get that. Everybody, even the ones you don't like, the ones who don't drive well, the ones whose dogs do bad things on your lawn, and you step in it, exactly, to love everybody, everywhere, every day. To not just love the people who do Fox News, but the people that Fox News talks about. Hello. I just thought I'd share that with you. But literally, living in love. Now, where did I get this idea? I got this idea straight from Jesus. So can I back this up for you? Let me tell you about this. In John chapter 13, it's interesting that it's really kind of, as we close into this Passover season, this Easter celebration, the last times and days of Jesus are pretty well studied during this time of the year. At least I hope you take the time to do that. But in John 13, He is sharing with His disciples in this last meal. He has washed their feet. He has shared with them. A number of things have happened. Judas has already left the room to run out and do the betrayal kind of thing, the whole 30 pieces of silver. I'm going to bring the crew in. But Jesus says to His disciples, after all of these kind of things, in verse number 34, a new commandment. How many? One, yes. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So here's the task. There is one job. I love this. Can you count to one? Everybody try it with me. Amen? It's good, isn't it? But no, you haven't made it yet. Because the one is profound. The one is powerful. The one is transformational. The one will cost you everything to do, because it's not just loving the people that you like. It's not just loving the people who love you. It's a qualified love one another as I have loved you, in the same way, in the same quality, from the same source. How many of you know that we in English have just like one word for love, and we love TV and we love our wives, or our husbands, or our children. And we love lasagna. And we love Fords rather than Chevys, or Chevys rather than Fords. And we love to sing. Do you get what? We have one word for all of this. When clearly the difference between how you feel about your spouse or your children and how you feel about food, well, it ought to be different. Clearly. Well, the Greek language doesn't struggle like that. There's multiple words for love in the Greek language. And the interesting one about God is that it's unique to God. This agape, this sacrificial love, this love that cannot be given back because it only comes from one source. You get that? God is the generational point of everything that is agape. Agape, you've got to get this, because agape love, sacrificing love, esteeming love, dignifying love, unearned, undeserved, even unasked for. He doesn't. How many of you know God didn't ask you if He should love you? You don't have to request it. He just gives it. He loves you. Deal with it. Exactly. Because this is the beauty. It flows from Him. He's not asking permission. He is the only source of this love. You've got to get this. Because this is the reality. That's why we can't just say, well, I love everybody. Like I love lasagna. I love everybody. And take it up a notch. Like I love my family. Well, that's pretty high level. But that's not high level enough. Because the task is not just love everybody. Feel good about everybody. Have the warm fuzzies over everybody. It is to love others as I have loved you. You get that? That's powerful. Because its source, its only resource for this is love. So if you're going to have this, you're going to have received it from Him. Because He's the only source. And you're going to have recycled some version of that. What I've received freely of His love, I'm going to love other people with. It's what drives you to pray for nations you've never even met. Yeah. It's what moves you to care about somebody who did something really stupid. You know, seriously. Picture the person who's fallen off of a 12-foot wall. And they're crumpled and laying on the ground. And you dutifully run up, being the good Christian that you are. And you say, you shouldn't have stood so close to the edge. Well, duh. I figured that out about halfway down. That I shouldn't have stood. In fact, the first words out of my mouth were, oops, bad move on my part. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at here? That's not loving people. That's chastising. That's scolding. That's telling. That's all of that. There's no sacrifice. There's no care. That's not the love of God. What God has done is He has looked at humankind knowing that we are destined to be fallen. And in spite of it, He has loved us with an everlasting love. He looked at the end from the beginning and saw the mess in between. You got to know there's a mess in between. I know, our modern mess is pretty big. Come on, how many of you are in touch with the modern mess that's going on? Seriously, everywhere you look, pretty much every nation, including ours. Chaos, craziness, mess everywhere. But God is letting it go on, not because of every good thing that happens in between. Because there's a lot of bad that happens in between. But the end. That He saw from the beginning makes everything make sense. Do you understand that? Why? No sickness, no dying, no crying, no former things. All the brokenness of all those ages is gone. It is forgotten. And yet in a way that justice still prevails. Righteousness still prevails. God is able. Why? Because of His love. I think it's just amazing every time when the Tuesday studies here, we've been talking in Genesis about, you know, Abraham and some of these different ones. And how do you know these Old Testament people were stinkers? They weren't the sharpest tools in the shed. Seriously, they weren't. They weren't the kindest people on the planet. They were liars and movers and shakers. And the father of our faith, Abraham, what a great man of God. Yeah, he was a bit of a liar. He was a bit of a weenie. And if you were Sarah, you'd say, yeah, the old boy put my self on the block. You remember that? Most recently, we talked about some of the things where Abraham goes down. He's already done this in Egypt, and he's gotten into trouble and trying to pass his wife off as his sister because, by the way, she was gorgeous, and everybody wanted her. And in those days, if you had the power and the money, you could take her. And if somebody was getting in your way, just kill him. And so, you know, oh, she has a husband. Well, not after today. I can just take care of it. Do you get that? I can take care of that. And that was what motivated Abraham. He's going to look at you, and he's going to look at me, and he's going to go, I can get rid of him. So say this, do this. And he goes into Gerar later. I mean, this is after the promises of God, after this covenant of circumcision, after these blessings of God providing sons and all of this. He goes into Gerar. That's the same thing to this unsuspecting king named Abimelech. Have you read it? It's an interesting story. And a poor Abimelech, he's like, wow, she's gorgeous. I can afford her. And that's how you knew you were rich. You could afford people. So I could buy her. I'm going to take her into my household. And I don't know how long she was there, but here's the judgment that fell on Abimelech's household included the fact that they were infertile. All the women couldn't bear. That was the judgment that fell on the household. Well, for that to have manifested, that takes some time. We're not talking about days. We're talking about quite a long period of time. And somehow God had protected her and protected Abimelech from touching her. And it wouldn't surprise you because harems were that way. When you bring somebody into your harem, no matter how beautiful and desirable they are, they have to go through purifying for a long period of time and oil treatments and all the other kind of things. And we make sure that they're healthy and disease-free and every other kind of things and blah, 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 and beautiful. They do. That's what they did. I'm just telling you, that's what they did. And God swept down. And it's an interesting exchange because in one of the English translations it says, God comes down to Abimelech and he says, you are a dead man. That's the first one. When God shows up and the first words out of his mouth are, you're a dead man. You just, there's no room to bargain. Let me do my little song and dance. You got no room here. You're a dead man. And why? Because this woman is married. This woman that you want to take into your hair, you've taken into your hair, and you want to do all this stuff too. This woman is married. And so here's what you need to do. This is why judgment has come. This is why, because Abraham, this is amazing. Here's what I'm going to, Abraham is my guy. He's my guy. I'm for Abraham. I'm with Abraham. I've chosen Abraham. And so, I mean, Abimelech is going, I'm innocent, I'm innocent. God says, yeah, I know. But the reason I'm here is for the sake of my guy. What is that? That's love. That is love that Abraham does not deserve. That is clearly love that Abraham is not earning. The way in which Abraham is currently behaving doesn't qualify him to say, oh, I know you love me because I do all these wonderful things. Because I obey and serve and give and love and share. Mm-mm. He's a stinker. But he's God's stinker. Do you get that? And stinker isn't, it's God doesn't love him because he's not a stinker or hate him because he is. You've got to get that. Can I just tell you about the love of God real quickly? Nothing you can do today that's powerful and wonderful and servant-oriented and gracious and ministerial will cause God to love you more. And nothing you can do that's heinous and awful and selfish and wicked will make God love you. Get it? That's what I'm saying. It's otherworldly love. It comes from the heart of God. It is undefensible. It's untouchable from stuff on the earth. Amen? It's inviolable, if you will. It is an overcoming, powerful love that comes only from the Lord. And that's why he said, if you ever can get a handle on this and love others as I've loved you, everyone will know. By this, everyone will know that you belong to me, that you are my disciples. Why? Because the love of God is working in us. This is the proof. This is not just the task, it's the test. If you want to know how your Christianity is doing, don't ask yourself from day to day, how much of the Bible do I know? How well am I doing with my enlisted prayer times? How good am I at, you know, my giving record and my attendance records? Do all of those things. Don't neglect to do those things that are right and righteous. But don't kid yourself. The real task is to love in the love of the Lord. And it's as simple as that. Receive and recycle. Receive, recycle. It's okay to tell God, you know, God, I don't love my neighbor. In fact, I don't even like my neighbor. I'm serious, it's okay. It's okay to tell God, I don't like people of this color or this ilk or this behavior. I don't like hipsters. I don't like, street thugs. I don't like terrorists. I don't like, whatever it is, you can be, you think God is fooled about how you feel? But that's the beauty. You can tell him, I love him? Love him? Lord God, I don't even like him. But that's okay. because I've been asked you to love them for me. I haven't. What I've asked you is to receive my love and to recycle my love for them. Because here's the truth. God has no problem with your enemies. Amen. It's not that he's unloving. Now, if there's a problem that comes up and he defends you, it's because he loves you. But here's the truth. God's plan for the terrorists is not to destroy them. It's to save them. God's plan for the irritating is not to show them and teach them and counsel them and instruct them. It's to save them from their sins. God so loved the worldly that he sent his only begotten Son to save us, to save the world from its sins. And so if we love one another, if we love the Lord, if we love in the Lord for one another, this is the proof of our ministry. I'll quit with a story. Alexander McLaren, interesting guy. Oh, by the way, if you're looking for one other verse, it's really simple to read. 1 Corinthians chapter, I think it's 16, verse number 14. It's pretty simple. Paul's just surmising or summarizing at the end of one of his epistles, and he says, let everything you do be done in love. And it's this agape. Because if you do, I promise you, you'll have to get it from God. You got to receive it to recycle it. I'm going to try to give what I don't have. Good luck with that. Come on, some of you, I did this one time with a kid. He was just nasty and mean-spirited, and I just thought, oh, I don't even like him. Dear Jesus, bless us today with Rick's absence. Really. Because he was just a gamer, and and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to love this kid. I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him. And after about 3 weeks of trying to really love him, I was so sick of him. And I was so tired of the efforts on my part. And I just was honest with God, and I said, God, I don't love him. I don't even like him. I'm not sure that you like him. But I'm guessing you love him. And so, would you help me? Please help me. And I don't know how to describe it to you, but when I stopped trying and started trusting, an amazing thing started to happen inside of me. I started to think about this guy. I started to imagine, what was he doing today? What's going on in his life? And what's actually happening in his heart and in his soul? I was seeing somewhere beyond his behaviors to the deeper places of his life. And I just, God's love began to fill my heart. And I was able to lead this guy to Jesus eventually. Really? And when I led him to Christ, here's what the guy said to me. He said to me, wow. Because I told him about Jesus. He started. Here's what happens. When you love other people, they'll test you. Because nobody loves like that. Come on, nobody does that. You know, how many of you know the love of God is otherworldly? Nobody loves like that. You can't get this on the marketplaces. You know, and so they'll test you. Poke you. That's that one, slap one side. So what are you going to do when they slap one side? Right? You got to do this, and you do more. Over the years, I've counseled literally hundreds of people now to, if you're forced into alimony, give $5 more. Every month. If you're forced into a payment because of an enemy, an adversarial relationship, just give $5 more. Because the law can force you to do this much. But that $5, straight up, that's a choice. And it'll confuse the person who's receiving it. Really? The law demands that you do this. What are you doing that for? Where'd that come from? And you get a chance to say, it comes from the Lord. It comes from the love of God. This is the verifying fact of how it works inside of our lives. And so I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you'll help us to know what it is to receive and rejoice and respond to this amazing loving kindness that you have for us. We could never be more loved than we are right now because you are the source of it. You are the resource. You're the fount of every spiritual blessing. It's from you, Lord God. And so we just say yes and amen. Help us to believe, to receive, but help us to also right here, right now, commit that what we've received freely, we want to recycle freely as well. In the name of the Lord. Because we do want to love others. We don't know where we ought to be. We don't know where we will be and what doors will open. We can't tell you what's going to happen to us Saturday as we go around to the various houses in the neighborhoods. But you've already seen it, and there's not one person that we will touch, see, serve, or even be rebuked by that you do not love with an everlasting love. And so help us, help us. I pray help us today to see how much you love us and how much you love the lost so that we might actually do what you said, to live in this love of Jesus Christ the Lord. Because we believe that this is the laboratory course. If we'll do this, if we will add this to our lives, if we will live in this, if we will let this foment inside of us and move inside of us and through us, that we will become ever increasingly more connected to you. And for that, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Love you guys.